Okay, gentlemen, so let's just review what we are up to. We have on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis a case of a fellow who digs a pit but does not need the cheftza of the pit, or the lack of a cheftza of a pit. Rather, the person only needs the dirt. So the Gemara says that even the coin trip Yehuda, that Malacha Shein Shvita L'Gufa, usually is Chayim, over here you're Pater, because it is a Makalkel. That's what the Gemara says. No? The Farish Gemara Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. So we are using this Gemara to discuss Malacha Shein Shvita L'Gufa. And the conversation we began yesterday is how do I paskin regarding Malacha Shein Shvita L'Gufa. And as we pointed out, Judaism is a beautiful religion, and the Rambam was born. Because 99.6% of Rishayin and Paskin, like Reb Shimon, that Malacha Shein Shvita L'Gufa is Pater. However, the Rambam in Parak Aleph of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Zayin paskins that Malacha Shein Shvita L'Gufa is Chayiv. And that's why the Rambam quoted our Gemara in Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Kitzurasa, the Rambam quoted our Gemara the normal way. Then we decided, okay, so I have a Machlekes Rambam against the rest of Rishayin, but what does Shulchan Aruch say? So we opened the Shulchan Aruch a few different places yesterday, and we saw that's not abundantly clear. At the end of Shin Lamed Daled, the Mechaber puts two opinions about extinguishing a Gachelas Shel Eitz that is in the Rishus HaRabim. You're allowed to do that to prevent Nezek Rabim. So the Mechaber says the first opinion is that it's permitted. The Rambam, who is Malachar Shein Tzvich L'Gufa, is Chayiv, says it's forbidden. Right, so two opinions, but it sounds like the main opinion is that it's permitted, like Reb Shimon. We saw in Shin Tes Zayin, in terms of being tzad animals, that tzad shloi lo tzorech. Again, the main opinion in Shulchan Aruch is that it's permitted, like Reb Shimon, or it's asur midrabanan. You, I think, you corrected me about this yesterday. It's asur midrabanan, like Reb Shimon. But the secondary opinion is the Rambam that it's mamash chayiv. But we pointed out that there's a little bit of a difficulty. Because Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Yud Aleph, over there the Shulchan Aruch writes that you're not allowed to carry a nifter into a Rishus HaRabim, because even though it's a Malacha Shein Tzvich L'Gufa, maybe you will look like the Rambam, the Malacha Shein Tzvich L'Gufa is Chayiv, so don't do it. There is an opinion quoted in Shulchan Aruch that's permitted, but that's like the secondary opinion. It sounds like the primary opinion is that it is the primary opinion is that it is forbidden. So we have a stira. Why would this be true? Yes, sir.
The opinion that matters, it doesn't even matter it like outright. It says you also should use a tino.
Right, so using a kikar or tino is a way of solving a muktza issue. Dead bodies are muktza, so I shouldn't move it. To solve the muktza issue, you put a kikar or tino on it, so it's ki'ilu, I'm carrying this mutter item. It's like a challah roll. They say that when Rav Breuer, the Rav here in Breuer, because it's called Breuer, because Rav Breuer was the Rav, so when he was nifter on the Shabbos, they noticed that he just stuck a challah roll in his pocket right before he was nifter. That takes presence of mind, no? He knows he's going to be nifter, takes a challah roll, sticks in his pocket so that they can move him. Right? Kikar? That's it. And there's a further shiloh there in Shulchan Aruch about, are you being marbe beholtzah? No? Because I'm carrying more. I'd otherwise, remember, there's presumably no Eruv, so I'm otherwise carrying only a dead body. Now I'm also carrying a kikar tino. That's a discussion, the Ramban versus the rest of Judaism. That's an important discussion on its own. But l'cha'ira, that's what emerges. Now, I would argue, though, that maybe Shin Yud Aleph is not such a kasha. And let me explain to you why. We have another case of Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa that comes up. And that is, again, this is just something that I thought of. If you don't like it, say you don't have to like it. But in Simen Reish Ayin Ches, it says that you're allowed to extinguish a candle for a chola sheyesh bo sakana. You're allowed to extinguish a candle for a chola sheyesh bo sakana. And the Rishonim comment because we do an Isser D'Rabbanan of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, that's why it's permitted. That's in the Mishayin Ches. Now, the Rambam writes that you're only allowed to extinguish the candle for the Cholosh Yesh Bo Sakana, the Bir Halacha quotes in here, Mishayim Ches. You're only allowed to extinguish the candle if you have no alternative. Meaning, if I could take the Chayla out of the room, the Chayla needs to sleep. Sleep, if you've ever been sick in life, right? So sleep is essential, no? The Chayla needs to sleep. So, you could either bring the mountain to Mohammed or bring Mohammed to the mountain. You could take the chola out of the room, and then the chola would be able to sleep. No? The Rambam writes that you have to avoid extinguishing the candle at all costs. If you could cover the candle, cover it. You could take the chola out, you take the chola out, all these things. So, I think the pshat might be that we are not makel. Even when we're makel, I think that yisod, the Bir Halacha points out that everyone agrees that yisod. That yisod is not true only according to the Rambam, because the Rambam holds Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Guf is fundamentally chayiv. According to everybody, the yisod is that we try to minimize the iser. So one could argue that the case of the chola. Let's go back to the case that we're talking about, the mace. The fellow is nifter. So why do you have to carry the fellow who was nifter? The rationale for carrying the fellow that was nifter, I think, is that the body begins to smell. So you want to carry it out so it doesn't smell up the whole room. Right? That's the din in Shingiraf. Now, there are other ways of preventing a body from smelling. No? You could take ice. The reason the body smells is because the sun is beating down on the body. You could basically take umbrellas or sheets or something and prevent the sun from beating down the body and prevent the body from beginning to smell. I would argue that maybe the reason why we're more machmir over there by the body, the reason why the Rambam's position is the standard position not to carry the body, is why get involved in this shayla? Try to find other ways. In Shin Lamed Dalet, we're talking about you have a gachelas in the Rishas HaRabim. You have to deal with it. Shin Tazayin is also, it's a b'diavad situation. If you if you captured a particular animal, what's the din? But over here, in Shin Yud Aleph, what I'm dealing with is how do I handle this body? So the answer is that maybe we're more machmir because we don't want you to employ any Isurim. Avoid the Isur as much as possible. Think creatively. Get out of your functional fixedness. Right? Like, think of some way. Maybe that's, again, this is something that I just thought about myself. I don't know if I'm right, but kach nireh li. Ben.
You can just appoint a guy to stand there and say, stay away, stay away.
Right, so you could. The thing is, it's a Rishus HaRabim, and like, there are cars who are going, and like,
so you can cross some guard. You go, I mean, what's...
Maybe, again, maybe if it's possible, and a chanami. I mean, again, some of the Rishonim say, by the way, the difference between the gachalasho eitz and the gachalasho mateches is that when metal is really hot, you don't notice that it's super duper hot. And you might touch it and really burn yourself. Gachalasho eitz, if you have a hot piece of charcoal, it's red hot, it's white hot, you can notice that it's hot, no? So the Ran actually has that opinion there in Parakira. So, I mean, that's similar to your idea. Like, that the Shaila is about how to avoid the problem. Right? And by eight, there's no need to extinguish it, because the assumption is that people will notice. I leave somebody there. Yeah, if you could leave somebody there, it's obviously, but Me'ezah Sibashihi, you can't. Right?
But the Lashon is different, though. I think the Shulchan Aruch says to put it out. It doesn't say you should try to leave somebody there.
That's a good hara.
Also, by the candle.
You think in a very like practical, like, good. I mean, okay, and Hanabi, I agree with that. Maybe Shulchan Aruch should say that. Yeah, it's a kasha in my mahalach. Okay.
Also, by the candle, what does it say there?
the candle so to extinguish a flame so the chayla should sleep. So the Rambam writes that you can only do that if you can't remove the chayla from the room. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Reish Ayin. That's right. Shulchan Aruch does not quote that, but I would argue that that's like background information. That's the type of thing that everyone holds of, and that leads to these other halachos. Mr. Haller, you had a comment?
It's going to be a very similar point about the Nachash.
Practical. Okay. Now, the next issue that comes up, though, about Malacha She'ena Tzricha L'Gufa, which is a problem, is that, again, the Pashtus is that Reiv HaRishonim hold Malacha She'ena Tzricha L'Gufa is Potter, like Reb Shimon. Rambam, outlier. Nonetheless, Shulchan Aruch writes, Shin Mem Se'if Avach, you're not allowed to cut your hair or your fingernails, whether you do it biyad or a kli. If you do it biyad, it's going to be osur min rabbanan. If you do it bikli, it's going to be osur min hatayra. You're chayiv if you cut Shrei Cyrus. Chayiv means put to death if you do it b'mezid. You're chayiv a korban if you do it b'shogeg. Chayiv means Reb Yehuda. Right? Lachor, why am I chayiv if I cut my nails? Do I need the nail? Do I need the nails? Pashtus is not. What do you do with fingernails? You flush them down the toilet. Well, no one does anything with fingernails, no? With your hair, maybe there's something to do, like make a sheitel. So the Pashtus is that the Shulchan Aruch over here paskins like Reb Yehuda. And the Vilna Gaon, Elijah Kramer of Vilna, 1720 to 1797, no? Elijah Kramer, Tainus. Did I tell you this? When I was in, I took calculus. So they said there's this thing called Kramer's Rule or something, which I totally don't remember what it is anymore. But they told me in high school, that in 12th grade, when we did calculus, that the Vilna Gaon, this one who's Machadish, this Kramer's Rule, because the girl's last name is Kramer. So it's absolutely not true. There's some other guy named Kramer. I think he's a character in Seinfeld or something. Whatever it is, like a different person. No shaitis. Okay, so the Vilna Gaon writes that not allowed to cut your hair, your fingernails. If you do it, you're going to be chayiv. And it says, if you're malakit levonos mitop shechoyreis, even if you cut one hair, you're chayiv, says the Gra, sosam kedas harambam da halacha kreb Yehuda malacha she'ina tzricha legufa, da hasud yazu muchach da halacha kreb Yehuda v'huraya lapsak harambam. The Gra writes, we hold like the Rambam.
What
are all the other halachos? So, the Gaon probably says, the fact that Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions, the Gaon isn't into rules within Shulchan Aruch. The Gaon viewed himself less as a commentator on Shulchan Aruch than as a posek. He says, we hold, like Reb Yehuda, Amlocha Shein Tzrichu L'Guf is Chayiv. In all those cases, we Amlocha Shein Tzrichu L'Guf is Chayiv. There's a little bit of a problem that in Shin Tes Zayin, the Gain on that din that we encountered about Sod, the animals, the Gain over there in Shin Tes Zayin writes that we hold the Krib Shemin. So the Bir Halacha says, well, the Gain is this big Bir Halacha, Dir Masav V'chayiv. The Bir Halacha says, you know what? The Gain is not really giving halachos. The Gain is explaining each din the way it is. And Shin Tes Zayin, he says that din's like Reb Shimon, and Shin Mem, he says this din's like Reb Yehuda, and, right, the Bir Halacha is understanding the Gra exactly the opposite of the way I learned the Gra in general. My understanding is that the Gra is a posek, not a commentary in Shulchan Aruch. No? He was using the Shulchan Aruch like as a springboard to teach us his own din. But read the Bir Halacha. Hine ra'ora isi shahagra b'simin zeh kasav demisug yizu raya l'psak ha-rambam that m'lach ha-shein tzvich l'guf is chayiv al l'fi dibe kol ha-ga'inim that m'lach ha-shein tzvich l'guf is potter af ha-pikim, they quote the sugya al-karchacha, they hold, etc. like the others. But ayin simin shint ha-zayin b'beyer ha-gra shematzadi chanda l'achum l'lach ha-shein tzvich l'guf is potter v'al-karchacha dehu mara panim l'cho shita sheyish l'makar gadol b'talmud. Says the Bir Halacha that all the Gaon is doing is he's showing you that there's a Makar in Shas for every Shita that comes up, but he's not really paskining. Again, Apparently Rev Schechter, when he was in Bernard Revel Graduate School, was trying to write a big piece about the Bir Hagra, the way the Goyin works. It's a serious undertaking. I don't know, I'm just making a hara. Oh. So now, why is it that you're going to be chayiv over here? Taisus writes on Sadi Dalet that you're only chayiv if you hold the Reb Yehuda, that Melacha Shein Svich L'Gufa is chayiv. The Magen Avraham writes that maybe the pshat is that you need the fingernails. Maybe that's what you're chayiv. Maybe you're going to be chayiv because the case is that you need the fingernails or something. That's a little bit. Magen Avraham said, "Cut an aleph." Magen Avraham first has his hakdama to the simen, to simen shindem, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But in Sifkat Aleph, he writes that if you cut the hair, lemadom locha shein tzrichel gufas potter mayim yishat tzarech l'sayran. The case is that you need the hair. Okay, not so mistaper.
The fingernails also.
What? The fingernails also. You need them, but more than that, it's not mistaber. It seems to be difficult. The simen of chole is simen shin chav ches. There's a discussion, let's say your fingernail begins to fall off on Shabbos. It's extremely painful. Now, did you ever have that experience? That your nail begins to fall off? It's like, it's awful. So what do you do if the nail begins to fall off? So it says that if you pull the nail off, you're chayiv achatos. Chayiv achatos. Why am I chayiv achatos? Do I need the nail? The pashtas in the din in shin chav ches if lamed aleph is I don't need the nail. I'm just cutting the nail off because it kills me. I'm in real bad pain because of this nail.
Same thing.
So again, it could be it's the same thing. It could be you need the nail off. So that is what we call major league doichek. No? Major league doichek. Not the minor leagues anymore. Oh. It's more of a problem, though. The Bir Halacha notes. Because there's a shiur for the Malach of Gozis. When I cut my hair, the shear is two hairs. One hair should be aser, al tzchatzi shear aser min ha-tayra. That's what the Magen Avraham writes here in Shin Mem Sif Katin Beis. You cut one hair, it's chatzi shear aser min ha-tayra. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, that if I'm lakate levonos mitoch shkoros, like someone like me, I'm beginning to, oh, not beginning, I'm already there, I have a lot of gray hairs, no? But let's say I decide to look good. So I pull out like one of my white hairs from all the black hairs. So the din is that even if I only pull out a single hair, I don't pull out two hairs, I'm still chayiv. Frek the Bir Halacha, how can you be chayiv? If you're going to tell me that the only reason why you're chayiv is because you need the hair. So don't tell me that because this is a white hair from black hairs, but I still only need one hair, how can I be chayiv? So that's the Bir Halacha's problem. That's Bir Halacha's kasha. So the Bir Halacha comes on with a new idea. And actually the Magen Avraham referenced this already. That maybe the reason why you're chayiv over here is because we're working with a Rivosh's shita of Malacha Shein Svich L'Gufa / Gozes. Why did they shear wool in the Mishkan? Why did they do Gozes? So they could have done gozes because they needed the wool to make techeos and argamon, etc. No? Or one could argue that they did gozes because the covering of the Mishkan itself was the oros ar tachash. They had this tachash animal, which I think we don't have anymore. It had like many different colors. Targumunkus understands that tachash is sasgona. That means it's like very... Rashi writes Al Tariq, when the Targum is like very happy with all of its colors. Sas means happy. Gona is like the Greek word gon, side, right? Polygon, right? So gon is like a Greek thing for sides or colors. So they're happy with like all the colors. Great. That's Sas Gona. That's Tachash. Says the Rivosh, when they cut the hair in the Mishkan, when they did gozes, they're doing gozes to prepare the oros. They're doing gozes to prepare the hides that they used as the covering of the Mishkan. They're not doing gozes to get the wool to make techeles. No? They're doing gozes to get the hide to cover the Mishkan. Therefore, says the Rivash, Geizes is going to be a malacha tzricha legufa, even though you do not need the hair that comes off. Because the definition of gozes is, to use a word that we had in Choresh, is yipui. It's making the arm nicer. And I make the hide nicer when I cut it off, no? An animal looks a little bit disgusting, no? But you shave the animal, you take off the hair, now it's mamish, a beautiful piece of leather, and that was the covering of the Mishkan. That is what the Rivash says. So the Rivash is telling me, the Rivash is, it's an interesting tshuva. It's written to someone who wanted to be makel on combing hair on Shabbos. He says that the minig in Saragossa, which is a town in Spain, is that they combed hair. The Rivash writes, dude, I'm from Saragossa. I never saw this. Anyone who does this is violating halacha. Then he goes to town and he talks about gozes. It's a really interesting Rivash. Who was the Rivash, by the way? When did he live? Before Moshe Rabbeinu?
After Moshe Rabbeinu, before.
With Moshe Feinstein, beautiful. So the Rivash was born in 1368, he died in 1428. That's the Rivash. The Rivash was a Talmud of the Ran. And the Rivash, who's a Talmud of the Ran, he lived until the age of 50 as a businessman. But then, because of various persecutions in Spain, he had no more money, so he had to become a rabbi. He didn't want to be a rabbi, he had to become a rabbi. Then the church, at that time, was very against the Jews. The church wanted the community to convert to Christianity. The Rivash said, I'm not going to let them convert, I'm going to fight against them. So then the church spread a rumor about the Rivash, that the Rivash had done some terrible things, very immoral acts, and that the Rivash would have to be burned on the auto de fe. You know, that's the way they used to burn people in Spain. So the Rivash didn't want to be burned. The Shaila was, should he give up his life? He said, you know what, if they're going to burn me, there will be a huge Chol HaShem. People say that a rabbi did these terrible activities. I'm going to listen to what the church wants. And he put on the outfit of a Dominican friar. He began to look like a guy. And then the Rivash ran away from Spain. He went to Algeria, where he resumed being a rabbi. And they welcomed him in Algeria. And everything was grand. That's the story of the Rivash. Again, this is like Ashkenazi Jewry would never do that, no? Ashkenazi Jewry would like say, you have to die. My Sephardi Jewry had a tradition, and this story of the Rivash is like really interesting, that he, Taka, got dressed up like a Dominican, etc. I mean, like a Dominican friar, like Trojan of St. Dominic. Oh, so the Rivash, Netchub and Simon Shin, Tzadi Dalit, Rivash says that the nature of the malach of gozes is yipui ha'or, and therefore, even if I don't need the hair, it's still malach ha'tzricha legufa, and therefore malachet levanos mitoch shechoros, I make myself look nicer. Apparently, you don't look so good when you have gray hair, right? It's malachet levanos mitoch shechoros, so that's why you're going to be chayiv over there, out the yipui. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. There is a machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, about how to define malacha shein tzricha legufa. Who do you think the Rivash is going like?
Tosfos,
no? Rashi says malacha shein tzricha legufa means l'salek me'olav, to like preventative, to get it out of here. Tosfos says, no, malacha shein tzricha legufa is, you do a malacha for a reason different than was done in the Mishkan. The Rivash is funny, because the Rivash is agreeing with Tosis, based on Tosis' Svara. Rivash says, Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa means doing it in a different way than was done in the Mishkan, no? And in the Mishkan, they did gozes on the, to make the hides nice, to put them on top of the Mishkan. But Tosis doesn't hold like the Rivash, no? Tosis holds like Tosis. Tosis defines Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa as doing it for the same way it was done in the Mishkan. But Tosis tells me that I'm only chayav for gozes if I need the hair that comes out. So it's a little bit strange that the Rav Ash and Tosis are both using the same hagdara of Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. And the Rav Ash says, you see from here, right, that if you do yipur, you make it nicer, that's Malacha Tzricha Legufa. Yet, for some reason, Tosfos, who's the background of the Rav Ash, doesn't say that. Like, why not?
Isn't it just a simple machlokas from what the Messias was?
Tifareish?
They were, in terms of actual gozes, what was the point of gozes? Was it to get this kind of a tafash?
Good. So Tosfos al Karchacha is going to tell me that the malacha of gozes is to get wool, to use her tchilos and argoma, not to improve the hides. And says the Egle Tal, they're really arguing la halacha. Can you violate gozes on a dead item? Is gozes only when I cut something from something live? Or is gozes even when I cut something from something dead? The Mishnah Berurah writes in Shin Mems of Cotton Hay that the malacha of gozes is even if you cut something from something dead. No? The Mishnah Berurah quotes that the malacha hagchi of shol gozes ben kishagozes min hachai ben kishagozes min hames. The chiyuv is even if you are cutting hair off of a dead thing. By the way, what's the heter? This comes up less and less today, because today most people make chicken cutlets. But when I was a kid, chicken was made, you know, with like chicken that had skin on it. And sometimes the chicken with skin would have little chicken hairs. No? Any of you remember this? Hey, remember? Hey, my mother used to call it sneastic chickens. Right? Because it's covered up. It's very sneastic, right? Beautiful. So are you allowed to pull those hairs out of your chicken on Shabbos? Is that gozes?
Machlokas?
You're learning, right? Again, so if there is gozes only from live things, this is not a live chicken. My chicken is cooked and dead. Right? And according to our Hesber, this is a machlokas, Tosfos and Rav Ash. Now Tosfos is saying that there is only gozes from live things. So the gozes that they did to prepare the hides to put them on top of the Mishkan, that was already when the hide is skinned off of the animal, and then they are removing the hair from that hide. That's gozes from dead, and gozes from dead isn't gozes. That's what, right? That's what Tosfos would say. The Rav Ash would say, no, gozes from dead is gozes. But the Mishnah Berurah paskins that yechayv on gozes even from dead. So this is a problem. Many of the smiths, what's my heter to pluck my feathers off of my cooked chicken? You like practical halacha. That's my heter to pluck my feathers. So many of the svarim say like this. You know, the way I understand it is as follows. We didn't give a shir on this, but I was thinking of giving a shir, I just didn't. The malacha, the 39 malachas are grouped in different ways. First you have the sidura de pas. No? Sidura de pas is preparing food. Then you have sidura de oiris, which involves preparing leather. Chicken is an interesting item. Chicken used to be leather when it's alive. Once it's dead and cooked, it's now food. One could argue that the malacha of gozes is part of sidura de oiris, not sidura de pas / ochlem. And once something is now hugdar, when something is defined as an ochel, so there is no malacha plucking those feathers. Even if you hold that there is gozes on dead things, but that's like the Rav Ash says, a dead hide that I'm using to cover the Mishkan. But if something is no longer hide, it's now food. No? Food, there's no gozes on.
Can you say it differently? Can you say it's mitzad? There's no such thing as chicken leather. There's no such thing as like fish leather.
Maybe another, but I feel hachi. I mean, the malach of gozes is whenever you pull hair off of something.
How do you know? Maybe it's only amino that is really a leather min.
Hagoz is bin min behema bin min achaya is chayev. If I rip the hair off of a chaya like a rhinoceros. If you rip hair off of a rhinoceros, don't try this. You're gonna be chayev. What are you gonna do with that? That's not. Again, I don't know. I don't get the impression. What?
Sounds like it's part of the
rebush.
You use the hide of the rhinoceros to make a carpet. I don't know.
Maybe. Hey, again.
Or is it
a fish? All I know is Azoyim. Okay, let's just go back to where we are. Gozes. Question. How come it says that you're chayiv? I shouldn't be melacha shein tzvicha legufa. So two possible answers. Either you need the hair that comes off, dachuk ma'od. Alternatively, maybe you hold like the rebush, that the chiyuv of gozes is making the hide nice. Maybe that's the pshat.
According to
it's yipoy. And Rashi, however, Rashi l'cha'ira cannot agree with that rivash. And if you look in the Ran on that din of Tzadi Dawin, he quotes a Rashi that as the Rivash is based on Taisvis, is Hagadara. Rashi's Hagadara, that Malacha Shein Tzvichal Gufa, means preventative. Again, that Rashi is very difficult. Taisvis, like, ripped that Rashi to shreds. It's like 50 kashas on Rashi. The Pashtus is that the Rivash and Rashi don't really work together well. I'll just leave it like that, yeah.
According to the Rivash, though, shouldn't Gozes only apply to dead things? Because if it's really for the poor, then it's not, you're not doing anything if you shave an alive animal.
No, right. No, so they would shave a dead animal for the rivash. The rivash is saying that after the animal is dead, they would remove the skin and then they would shave it to make beautiful leather curtains for the Mishkan.
Right.
Or covers for the Mishkan.
But I'm saying it should only apply to dead animals, not to alive animals.
So I think the rivash would say it applies both to live and dead. Rivash is not denying that they did Gozes to make wool, but what, again, maybe the gozes on a live animal is only if you need the stuff that comes off, and the gozes on a dead animal is just for the yipui. Perhaps that's what would emerge. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm inclined that that would make sense. Yeah.
If they for sure did gozes on non-living animals in the Mishkan, how can someone say that gozes doesn't apply to?
Yeah, in other words, why would Tosfos argue on the Rivash? Why would Tosfos say? So I think Tosfos is going to tell us that just in the context of the malachos are malachos related to wool. No? That's the Mishnah in Ayin Gimel. We talk about Seiveya. Gozes is Hatzemer, Melabno, Menapso, Tzovo. The Mishnah's Lashon is Gozes es Hatzemer. No? It doesn't say Gozes es Ha'ar. The Melacha of Memachik might be the Melacha of removing the Se'ar. That's why Rashi learns the Mishnah. Rashi in our Mishnah, Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, says that Goyzeis is Hatzemer, and then there's a Lashon of Memachik, a different Malacha, which is that Megarer Sairo, that I remove the hair from the hide. According to Rashi, I think Goyzeis is Hatzemer is a Malacha on a live animal. There's certain Malachas on Tzemer, no? I'm just reading a Mishnah.
So it's like more of a broader question, I guess. Are the Malachos representative of every single action they did in the Mishkan?
Right.
Like everything they did.
So the Pashtus,
or like not everything, like,
so again, it could be that every act they did in the Mishkan is one of the malachos. The only thing is that Rashi would say that removing the hair is not gozes, it's a different malacha. It's a malacha called memachik. Removing the hair from the hide is a different malacha. Right? I think that's what emerges.
I guess the other thing that I was wondering.
What?
Another thing I was wondering about is that the animals that they used in the Mishkan were animals, and humans are not animals. We're not a behemoth, we're not a chayav.
Yeah, so again, this is the question as to how narrowly I take the stuff that was done in the Mishkan. But Pashtus, we use the stuff in the Mishkan to create categories. And then basing halacha off of the categories rather than off of the specifics, no? So, you're right. Humans are not animals. And this is another kasha, by the way. Which malachos apply to humans, which don't apply to humans? Am I allowed to put my kid in the crib on Shabbos? Is that the malach of tzad? I'm trapping my kid. You ever thought about this one? So you don't have kids yet. Right? Again, so you could tell me that maybe tiny little babies, you're not trapping them because they couldn't move anyway. But sometimes kids, like when they're 2 years old, they begin to act out. So you put them in timeout, no? Put them in the room, you close the door. Is that tzad? What? Which malachos apply to humans, which don't apply to humans? Not at all pashut. No? There is bone now on humans. The Gemara says that mapis morsa. There's actually part of the sugya of malacha shein tzvicha legufa. Mapis morsa. If I take a pus pimple and I make a hole to get the pus out, and the pus comes out because air goes in and pus comes out, no? Mapis morsa is chayiv. That's bone now. The Gemara tells us that if the HaKadosh Baruch Hu vayiven es ha-isha something, vayivi eva al ha-adam, Chazal say that the Rabbon Hashem braided Chava's hair. And since we use the Lashon vayiven, the Gemara says that braiding hair on Shabbos is a malach of bona. So there is bona on humans. Which other malach is applied to? Apparently there's gozis on humans also. Right? That's clear in the Mishnah on Tzadi Dalet. Which malach is applied to humans? I don't know. We have to figure out. Bishalakum, no? Are you in violation if you cook a human? I didn't say that. But
why not?
Is it Shaloka Derech? Yeah, yeah.
Right? But the cooking itself, though, is the normal there. Cooking, it is white cooking.
I really don't want to have this conversation. Like, really not. But this is... I really would want to have the conversation over here about a woman cutting her nails when she has to go to the mikveh. I think we ran out of time now. Like, I won't have time to have this conversation. So maybe tomorrow we'll have this conversation, or we could do some practical gozes. I don't know if we're going to get to gozes, really, in the malachos so well. So maybe we could do practical gozes tomorrow, or maybe we'll do both. We could try to do both tomorrow, Mr. Chairman. Okay, so we'll do some practical gozes and some... Yeah. Okay, Chevra. Have a good day.